things that are happening that churches are losing their heart for evangelism. Maybe even ours. So for the next 8 weeks, all this summer long, we are emphasizing evangelism. And we're talking about movie nights on Wednesday nights. Every one of these have Christian themes. I think they've been pretty good movies, don't you? Those of you that have been coming, I think they've been pretty good movies. And so we've got several more to go. This one reminds me of 24. We got any 24 fans out there? Did anybody watch 24 when it was on? That's one of my favorites. In fact, I was watching season one yesterday. But this reminds me of 24. The following week, we got a movie called The Apostle Peter and the Last Supper. Good movie. Then the week following that, we got a spinoff of The Twilight Zone called Encounter. And it's going to be a great movie also. So I'm excited about what's happening. We're going to begin a new series today. I'm really excited about it. I'm so glad the Lord laid this on my heart. And this is called REAL. REAL. It's an acronym for Relevant, Engaging, Authentic Life. REAL. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking to you about sharing your story. Now, here's one thing I want you to do today, is I want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit speaks still? I believe He speaks, and I believe He's going to talk to you today. You raised your hand, you're caught. Because He's going to talk to you today. And the question will be, are you going to listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you today? So the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about sharing our stories. Learning to share our stories. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about why you should share it, how you should share it, what you should do, what you should not do. Then we're going to challenge you to share that story. Then the month of August, I've got four different, and I'm one of those. I'm going to share my story. But I've got three other groups. One is Teen Challenge. Another one is Casey Barker and Stephen Sexton are going to be coming in. They're going to be sharing some real life stories, and we're going to call them real stories. And here's that month, I want to challenge you to bring unchurched people, people who don't know Christ. We've declared this a summer of salvation. Listen to this. Are you ready for a yay, God? For the last 5 weeks in Celebrate Recovery, we've had at least one salvation. That's a yay, God. We had two Friday night. This week, this next week, we're going to be baptized. I think we're going to baptize at two or three this next week. If you need to be baptized, you need to see us. But I'm looking for the Lord to save some folks. I believe, as this movie talks about, we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. We got any people who believe in the rapture around here? I believe in the rapture. Jesus could come back. And you have people in your life that don't know Christ. There are people that you work with, people that you're acquainted with, people that you're friends with, people maybe that you drink coffee with that don't know Christ. So we need to be willing to share our stories. So we're calling this REAL, Relevant, Engaging, Authentic Life. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about this. Today's message is entitled Relevant Fishermen. Relevant Fishermen. Let me read a text. It's found in Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 18 through 20. One day as Jesus was walking along the sea of the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Notice what it says, they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." They left their nets at once and followed him. I want you to watch this little video. It's kind of I call it a silly little video, but it kind of has a message. So let's watch this and I'll be right back. You get the message, don't you? I was on Facebook this morning, as is my custom, and I saw my niece's, my sister's daughter's, post. And she said, I had the privilege of praying with my daughter, Caitlin, to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior last night. And I thought, yay, God. And it came back to me that, oh, almost 40 years ago, the very first person that I prayed with to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior was Caitlin's grandmother, my sister. So I have had the opportunity, because when you win somebody and they win somebody and they win somebody, kind of like we saw in the video, that I have been able to affect three different generations through my witness to them. And I thought, yay, God, thank you for letting me see that. Because, you know, sometimes you talk to people and you plant seed and you witness, and or you invite them to church and nothing happens. But every now and then you'll see something that'll just rise up and just be a blessing to your heart. So we're going to talk today about being relevant fishermen, sharing our stories. Now, there are people that are in your life who need to hear your story. I'm going to say that again. There are people in your life who need to hear your story. They may be family. They could be friends. They could be acquaintances. They could be people who wait on you at the bank or check you out at the supermarket. There are people out there all around us, and we have interaction with people all the time who need to hear our story. You know why? God put them there. God brings people into your life for you to share your story. And you know, you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not asking you to preach. I'm just asking you to share your story. Just your story. In fishing, there are several things that are very important. A pole, a line, a hook. What is the hook? The hook is the gospel. It's the hook that changes the fish's life. It's not the pole, it's not the line, it's the hook. The hook is the gospel, but there's something that we put on the hook called bait that makes it very attractive, and that is your story. So the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about sharing your story. You don't need to share someone else's story. You share your story. So that's what we're just going to center in on hard for the next few weeks. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to bring some change into our lives as a church body and change the dynamics of what we are. We have got to get out of this thinking that we come to church. You do not come to church. You are the church. And everywhere you go, you're the church. If you work at the hospital, you're the church. If you have your own business, you're the church. You're the church everywhere you go. You represent Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, every day of your life, the way in which you live your life, you are being the church. You're the witness. And it's important that we realize that. We are all ministers of Christ. Some are called to stand and teach. But we've made a division between clergy and laity. There's no such thing as clergy and laity. Not in God's kingdom. We're all the same. We're all ministers for Christ. We're to minister by our life. We're to minister by our words. Some people say, I'm just going to live a good life in front of people. They can still go to hell. They need to hear words. They need to hear stories. So I'm going to say to you today that the gospel is the hook, but the story is the bait. Now, if you're going to go fishing, you got to know how to fish. You got to know about bait. And I'm not a good fisherman. Kevin Tucker, don't you say a word. I'm not a good fisherman. But I do know that there's some fish that you use worms. There's some that you use crickets. There's some that you use corn or power balls. If you're fishing for crappie, you can use roadrunners. Now, sometimes you have to use a white one. Sometimes you have to use a chartreuse one. Sometimes you have to use a different colored one depending on the water. You have to learn how to use bait to catch the kind of fish that you're after. And the bait that God has given us is our story. We have a story. God has brought people into our lives, and we're supposed to be sharing our story. Now, I want to give you three things to think about as we go fishing. These are very deep. Are you ready for some deep theology today? Are y'all out there? Y'all quieter than the first service. They were rowdy this morning. There are three things that you need to remember as you go fishing. Number one, use bait. Isn't that deep? Use bait. You know, if you just throw the hook out there, maybe you fish long enough that you just thrown a hook out there and caught one, but you're not going to catch very many that way. You got to have bait. You've got to use bait. Isn't that deep? You got to tell the story. You've got to tell your story. Now, as we look at this story where Jesus came to the disciples, or they weren't the disciples at the time, they were professional fishermen. They were not recreational fishermen. They fished for a living. But here's the first thing that we need to see about this as we use bait, is that Jesus called them to use what they had in their hand. He called them to use what they had in their hand. He connected with them on a level that they understood. They understood fishing. He didn't say to those fishermen, "Come follow me and I will make you lawyers of men or doctors of men." He said, "I will make you fishers of men." So he always calls us to use what we have in our hands. You have certain skill sets. You have certain inclinations. You have a particular personality. You have different graces and gifts in your life. There are things that God has put on the inside of you. You have had certain experiences in your life, good and bad. God does not call you to do something outside of what's in your hand. He calls you to use what you have. The second thing is that their profession was their ministry. That's pretty good. Their profession was their ministry. Now, how many people are called? All are called. See, the calling is, the first thing that he does, he calls us out of the world. He calls us to himself, but he calls us to glorify him with all of our life, in every way. So your profession is your arena of ministry. If you're a nurse, guess where your arena of ministry is at? It has to do with the environment that you're in. See, there's more to ministry than teaching Sunday school, standing before a congregation, singing in a choir. All of those things are important, but your greatest ministry is not here, it's out there. And it is in the arena of your profession. Whatever it is that you do for your livelihood, that is your ministry. Now, I'm not talking about earning money and blessing people. I'm talking about that is the arena where the people are that you're to minister to. You're to tell your story. Now, you don't have to preach. You don't have to preach. You just have to relate your story. Your story is important. Now, the third thing that you need to see is that your life story is your calling. Your life story is your calling. Now, the reason that is so is because there are people that your story will speak to. You won't be able to speak to everybody, but there are people that your story will connect with. Can I tell you a story? Okay, we're telling stories. This is a real story. I remember when I was a kid. I don't remember when it started. I don't remember how it started. I know that it was fear-based. Somewhere along the time of the fourth or fifth grade, I recall having numbers that ran through my head. I would count. Obsessively, I would count. There were good numbers, and then there were bad numbers. Usually the good numbers were the even numbers, and the bad numbers were the odd numbers. So 1, 3, 5. Now 7 was good because I was raised in church and I knew 7 was God's number. But 1, 3, 5, 9, 11, 13 were bad numbers. And when I counted, I could not stop on a bad number. I had to stop on a good number because everything had to be balanced. And I always thought in my mind, and this is where the fear came in, that if I didn't do this, that God would kill my parents. Obsessed. I became compulsive with that. Obsessive and compulsive with that. Not only that, if I was walking somewhere and I touched something on this side, it had to be even, so I had to touch something on this side. And if I did that, I had to do that, or something bad would happen. Now, I want you to be honest with me. How many of you think that's the craziest thing that you've ever heard in your life? Let me see your hand. That you don't identify with that whatsoever. That didn't speak to you at all. Let me ask you another question. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Look at this. There's more that identify with that story. You know what? When I was a kid, I could never share that with anybody because I thought I was the only person in the world that happened to. I was so ashamed of that because I thought if I ever shared that with anybody, they'd say, that guy is crazy out of his gourd. And I didn't. I grew up into my adulthood. In fact, I was in ministry. I didn't realize that that's as common as it is. I think they call it OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, where it might have to be, everything has to be in order, everything has to be clean. You go and you lock your door and you go back and check it, and you have to check it so many times. It's obsessive compulsive. And I remember I was talking to someone someday, and they shared their story about that. And all of a sudden, I realized I was not the only one in the world that dealt with that. See, there are people out there who are hurting, who are messed up. And the thing that the devil tells them is that they're the only one in the world that feels that way or hurts that way, that they're so alone in their mind. And whatever your story is, that's your calling. You have a story that will connect with a certain group of people. I believe divinely that the Holy Spirit brings people into your life as a Christ follower just so that you can tell your story to them. Now, when I became a Christian, I found out that God don't kill people. So I got set free from that fear. I still deal with some compulsive things sometimes, but they don't have the fear with them anymore. I mean, I still find myself thinking, oh, but no, I don't have to do that. But it's compulsive. It was tormenting at one time. But after I became a Christian, I got free of some of that because I began to understand about God. Well, there are people out there that do not understand about God, and the devil is beating them up. And if they could just hear your story. See, your story is different than my story. Maybe you became pregnant out of wedlock. And it's something in your past that you're ashamed of. But that's your story. Maybe you've had multiple marriages and you've overcome and you have a good marriage now. Guess what that is? That's your story. Maybe you were an alcoholic or a drug addict. Or maybe you were addicted to pornography. Maybe, I don't know. The stories are diverse. But the thing is that all of those things are common among human beings. And if you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you have a story to tell. And we need to be telling our story because people are dying out there. They're dying out there. We had, and I'm not betraying confidence, but Friday night we had somebody here that was talking about taking their life. Well, they ministered to them. So you don't know. You don't know what people are dealing with. But there are people who come across your path by divine appointment. And they need to hear your story. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. First of all is that you've got to use bait. Your bait is your story. The second thing is put your bait in the water. Now, a few months ago, Jason Ramsey, Kevin Tucker, and myself went fishing. We went over to the lake. We fished for quite a while, and we were fishing and casting, having a good time talking. And I look up front, and Jason's sitting up there, and his pole is out over the edge of the boat, and his bait was out of the water. I said, "Jason, put your bait in the water, dummy. You're not going to catch anything." I think he's been watching Swamp People. I guess he thought that this fish is going to come up out of the water and grab his. No, you got to put your bait in the water. You got to have bait. You got to have the right bait. But you got to put your bait in the water. You have to tell your story. You know what? As long as you're casting and reeling, as long as you're throwing it out there, as long as you're telling your story, you're going to catch some fish. But if you never put your bait in the water, you're not going to catch fish. And I wonder, I don't want a show of hands, but I wonder how many here has never prayed with anybody to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. I bet we would be astounded at how many has not. And it should be 100% of those who have. But some people say, "Well, preacher, that's your job. That's why we pay you the big bucks." No, 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 no. My job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You need to be sharing your story. I can't share your story. I haven't been where you are. Only you've been there. And there are people that are uniquely brought into your life so that you can share your story with them. Now, why do we not share our stories? Number one is pride. Number two is because we are ashamed. But that robs us. Did you know it? That robs us of a great blessing. Do not be ashamed of your story. Now, I've got things in my past that I'm ashamed of. Okay? I wished I had not done those things, but I am not ashamed of my story because it is my story. And God takes the good things, God takes the bad things, He can redeem it and He can turn it around and He can use it to reach other people. That becomes the bait in my life as I cast, as I become a relevant fisherman, and those opportunities will present themselves. But you can't be ashamed. You can't be full of pride. You can't be full of fear. You have to share your story. It is your story. You know, there's no potential released in a story that's never told. But when you tell your redemptive story, there is great potential that's there. And God can take that and He can use it and He can miraculously do things. You know, He took Moses and He said, Moses, He said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He says, throw it down. He threw it down and it became a what? A serpent. He took that same rod, He held it out over the Red Sea and parted the Red Sea. He took that same rod and He struck a rock and water came out of it. God took what was in His hand and He used it and did miraculous things. Your story, if you're redeemed today, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, your story has miraculous potential in it. And for you to set on it and not tell it because of pride or shame or whatever reason you're not telling your story is bad. I think that that's part of your story. If you will write your story, you will be more apt to share your story when you get an opportunity. In fact, in 4 weeks, on a Sunday after the second service, we're going to do a little workshop over here in the fellowship hall. We'll even feed you lunch on how to write your story. We'll do that. We'll have a sign up next week. You can sign up. I'm serious about this. I think we go to church sometimes and say, amen, that's good preaching. Pray, and we go out with good intentions and we do squat. We don't do anything. I think it's time that the church be the church. Amen. I think it's time for the church to do what they're supposed to do. If you read in the book of Revelation, the letter to the seven churches, Laodicea pretty well describes the American church. I'm rich, I'm full, I have need of nothing. And he says, you don't realize it, that you're naked and poor and blind. And I think by and large, that's a description of the American church. We've lost our passion, we've lost our heart, we've lost our vision, we've lost our commitment to the Great Commission. Folks, there are people who are going to hell. And we're silently setting by and allowing it to happen when we have opportunities to share our story. So I want you to commit to writing your story. Will you do that? How many of you will do that? Commit to writing your story. Well, good. Rest of you are on my prayer list. I think some of you have another disease. Never raise my hand for anything disease. It's kind of like OCD. I think a lot of people are eat up with that. Here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to tell the Holy Spirit that you'll share your story. Honestly. I want you to get real with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to commit to the Holy Spirit that you will share your story. That's scary. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. The opportunity is going to come. See, this needs to become a lifestyle with us. This doesn't need to just be a good series that the pastor did and brought in 4 good speakers that shared good testimonies and we were blessed and we all went home and went out to eat and nothing ever changed. We need to get gospel-minded. We need to think about sharing our story. So I want you to honestly tell the Holy Spirit that you'll share the story. Your story. Here's the last thing. Get ready to be used. Because it's going to happen. There's people out there who are lost, whom God loves greatly, that need to hear. They do not know. We think that because people live in America that they know the gospel. Let me tell you, they do not. If you ask the majority of people in America if they're Christian, they'll tell you yes. But they cannot tell you how they became a Christian. If you ask them, if you were to die today and stand before God and were to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you tell them? And they'll give the wrong answer. They'll say, "I've been a good person. I've kept the Ten Commandments." There's going to be a lot of good people who miss heaven because they do not know the story. And you have it. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. And you need to commit to tell that story. Go and ask my prayer team to come. A couple things that we're going to give opportunity for you to come. If you have prayer needs for anything in your life, maybe you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you don't have a story. You don't really have a story until it includes being redeemed. So you can complete the story today. If you're here today and don't know Him, you can know Him today. And your story will unfold. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you about something. That's what this is for. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for just challenging.